Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
Awesome to have you this morning. I want to say a very special welcome. If you're here because you've been invited by someone, this is Invite Your One Day. Thank you. And we're just honored to have you as our special guest today. How many of you ready to hear the Word of God this morning? Let's bow our heads and let's pray blessing on God's Word this morning. Thank you, Father, for every single person here. You love us, each of us, individually, uniquely, specially. So I pray that you bless each one, each person today. Father, help me to preach this Word and speak this Word in such a way that it comes alive. Because your word is, the Bible says it's living and active. Let it come alive to our heart, to our spirit, to our mind, our soul this morning. Help us to hear it, understand it, believe it, and live it out. For our blessing and for your glory, I pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone agreed and said, Amen. You know, as I'm preaching, if anyone wants to shout Amen, you can go ahead and do that, okay? All right, good. Good start already. The title of my message is An Encounter with Jesus. An encounter with Christ. Okay. So, you know, I'm going to start this way. The greatest book that was ever written is called the Bible. I love the Bible. The Bible is authored by God, right? And it's the manual that God gave us to live our life as people on earth. Every answer for every problem, every situation that comes into your life is found in the Word of God. I love the Bible. It's long, it's detailed, you know, but it's a love letter to God's people. It's split up into two. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. In the first four books of the New Testament are called the Gospels. It's the story about God and Jesus Christ. And it's written by four different authors. Four different authors so that we can go deeper in our understanding of the gospel message. This is on your PowerPoint. The first book is the book of Matthew. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. And Matthew portrays Jesus predominantly as Lord and King. The next book is the book of Mark. Now, Mark was a teenager following Jesus. And he portrays Christ as basically as a servant. It's the most simple account of the gospel. The next book in the Bible is written by Luke. Luke is a doctor, and he's the most detailed of all the writers of the gospels, and he gives us a fuller picture of all that Jesus accomplished on this earth. And the fourth book is the book of John, the Apostle John. John was a fisherman, and John gives us a picture of the love of God. The first book I tell people to read when they said, I'm going to read the Bible, where do I start? I say, start at the book of John. Here's why, on your PowerPoint. Because John is all about relationship. It's all about a relationship with God. And John is also about a revelation of God to us through his son, Jesus Christ. In fact, John calls himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. You know, it's in verse 20. Peter turned and saw that, and John's writing these words. He's saying, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, he's referring to himself, was following them. This is the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper. This is the Last Supper, and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? You know, John thought that, you know, Jesus loved him more than the others. Of course, Jesus did not love John more than the others. John just thought he did. You know, for John saw himself as someone who was loved by Jesus. And I think that every single believer, all of us should, you know, think of our relationship with Jesus as something special, something intimate, you know, and something beautiful, you know, that I am loved by Jesus. That should be my identity. That should define me. I'm not defined by my past. I'm not defined by my failures. I'm not defined by my mistakes. But I'm defined by His love for me that is so great that He went to the cross to die for me. Right? You know, and that's what Jesus' love is like. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's unique. It is special for every single one of us. You know, Karen and I, we have two kids, and we got three grandkids. And every one of them is different. All are very different. Different personalities, different abilities, different likes, different love languages. They're all different. You know, and my goal is, as a father and a grandfather, is to love all of them uniquely, specially, wonderfully, right? And that's the way Jesus loves us. And our goal should be, as believers, our goal should be to be loved by Jesus and to love Him more. Shouldn't that? That should be our primary goal in life, because life is all about relationships. And life is all about a revelation of God to us. Matthew, Mark, and Luke beautifully give us a picture of the history of Jesus. But John unlocks the mystery of Jesus. And we're going to go to a story in which Jesus unlocks and unravels the mystery of Himself to one person. And this person is a woman. And so I'm gonna lead you in some scriptures. I'm gonna read this story out. It's in the Bible. It's found in the book of John, John chapter 4. Now, there's several slides you're gonna have to go. I'm gonna read through. So I want you to really pay attention. Can you do that? Can you just really pay attention and listen to every single word? Okay, starting at verse 3, John chapter 4. It says, Jesus left Judea and returned to the province of Galilee. And He had to pass through Samaritan territory. Now, that's significant right there. It says He had to pass through. He didn't have to, but somehow He had to pass through Samaria. Jesus arrived at the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob had given his son Joseph long ago. Wearied by His long journey, He sat on the edge of Jacob's well, and He sent His disciples into the village to buy food, for it was already afternoon. And now that next verse kind of just unfolds the whole story here. It says, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink of water. Surprised, she said, why would a Jewish man ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water? Jesus replied, if you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink, and I would give to you living water. The woman replied, but sir, you don't even have a bucket. And this well is very deep. So where do you find this living water? Do you really think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it himself, along with the children and livestock? Jesus answered, if you drink from Jacob's well, you'll be thirsty again and again. But if anyone drinks the living water I give them, they will never thirst again and will be forever satisfied. For when you drink the water I give you, it becomes a gushing fountain of the Holy Spirit springing up, flooding you with endless life, eternal life. The woman replied, let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water. Jesus said, go get your husband, bring him back here. But I'm not married, the woman answered. That's true, Jesus said, for you've been married 5 times, now you're living with a man who is not your husband. You have told the truth. The woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why do our fathers worship here on this nearby mountain, but your people teach that Jerusalem is the place where we must worship, which is right? Jesus responded, "Believe me, dear woman, the time has come when you won't worship the Father on a mountain nor in Jerusalem, but where? But in your heart. Your people don't really know the one they worship. We Jews worship out of our experience, for it's from the Jews that salvation is made possible. From here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart." And then Jesus says, "For God is Spirit. God is Father, Son, and He's Holy Spirit. He's the three-in-one God." He says, "For God is a Spirit, and He longs to have sincere worshipers." He longs to have people worship Him, who worship and adore Him, who are intimate with Him in the realm of the Spirit and in truth. And the woman said, "All this is all so confusing. But I do know that the Anointed One is coming, the true Messiah. And when He comes, He will tell us everything that we need to know." Jesus said to her, "You don't have to wait any longer. The Anointed One is here, speaking with you. I am the one you're looking for." And the story goes on. His disciples return with the food. They were stunned to see Jesus actually talking to this woman, but they don't ask Him any questions. Verse 28, all at once, the woman dropped her water jar, ran off to the village, and told who? Everyone. "Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the Anointed One we've been waiting for." Hearing this, the people came streaming out of the village to go see Jesus. And when they saw Jesus, they were blown away. And they say, "Stay with us, teach us more." He stayed there 2 days. Verse 42, then the Samaritans who had listened to this woman said to her, "We no longer believe just because of what you told us, but now we've heard Him ourselves and are convinced that He really is the true Savior of the world." This woman at the well is the Samaritan woman. This woman is in a desperate place. This one was soul thirsty. Not soul thirsty, but soul thirsty. She was thirsting in her soul for something. Right? She's had 5 husbands. She's working on the 6th. She's soul thirsty. And she doesn't realize that she's so dysfunctional that she keeps walking into the same old problems and patterns of life. Soul tie after soul tie. Relationship after relationship. I mean, she is so emotionally attached to the point she can't even see right from wrong. But then, she has an encounter with Jesus, the seventh man, and everything changes. She's been to the well again and again, and she's still always thirsty. You know, it's amazing to see people today who are always thirsty, always hungry. They're thirsting for something that will satisfy the deepest needs in their soul, and they can't find it anywhere else. And that's why Jesus says in His Word, John 7:37, it says that Jesus later on stood up, and He shouted to the crowds, all you thirsty ones, come to Me. Come to Me and drink. Believe in Me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being. Just like the Scripture says. You know, Jesus, on your PowerPoint, Jesus goes to a place to meet a person. You know, her name is not even mentioned in the story. The place on your PowerPoint, the place is called Samaria. Very significant place because there was racial tension in Samaria. Jews hated Samaritans. Samaritans hated Jews. Jews actually called Samaritans dogs, right? The place was Samaria. The person was a woman. Now, the woman is significant because Jewish people, men, did not talk to women, especially Jewish leaders. Why? Because men thought they were above women. How many women are glad it's not like that anymore, right? Or it shouldn't be like that, right? But you know, but here's Jesus. He breaks through every barrier. He breaks through every traditional protocol, religious protocol. And he breaks through the barrier of racism. He breaks through the barrier of sexism in order to get to the person. And that's, you know what? Jesus still does that today. Jesus wants you. Jesus is after you. Can I see Jesus is following you? Jesus is coming after you. It doesn't matter where you're from. It doesn't matter what color skin you have. It doesn't matter if you're a man. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It doesn't matter how old you are. He's coming after you. And he wants to meet you here at your well, right where you thirst. Amen? He's still looking to meet people. And it says here in the scriptures, Jesus had to go to Samaria. He didn't have to, but he had to go. Upstanding Jews in that time never went through Samaria. They always avoided Samaria. They kept going around Samaria. But the scripture says Jesus had to go to Samaria. Samaritans were outcasts. They were dirty. If you even touched the Samaritan, you'd have to wash your hand. You couldn't use the same utensils that a Samaritan used to eat. You'd have to wash them and cleanse them. And you're considered dirty if you touch a Samaritan. But here Jesus goes right into Samaria. It's very interesting. Later, in Acts chapter 1, in the New Testament, Jesus stands up and he tells his disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and in where? Samaria. And to the ends of the earth." Jesus starts his ministry in Jerusalem. In John chapter 3, John chapter 4, he's in Judea, and he's in Samaria, and his ministry goes to the ends of the earth. All the way to Canada here today. Amen? It says Jesus had to go to Samaria. And there's three reasons why I want to tell you why Jesus had to go to Samaria for this woman. Number one, on your PowerPoint, he had to go for her fulfillment. When he met this woman, she was dry. She was empty. She was thirsty. She was sitting by, and she was literally sitting in the desert by an old, ancient well. She's always wanting, always needing more, never satisfied. And Jesus says to her, "Woman, if you're always drinking the water of this world, you'll always be thirsty. You'll always be thirsty." No, I think Mick Jagger of the Stones kind of said the same thing, right? He said, "I can't get no satisfaction. And I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction." It's a good thing I'm not Mick Jagger. Let me tell you, the world is always selling you and telling you what you need to change your life. Right? You think about it. Sprite. LeBron James says, "Obey your thirst." Right? Kit Kat says, "Have a break. Have a Kit Kat." Red Bull says, "Red Bull gives you wings." Right? KFC says, what does KFC say? It's what? It's finger-licking good. For you ladies, Maybelline says, maybe she was born with it. Or maybe it's Maybelline. Right? And MasterCard says, for everything else, there's MasterCard. Right? But let's admit it. KFC does not always hit the spot, right? Red Bull loses its wings, right? You know? Isn't that? You know, Sprite, you soon need another one. And MasterCard comes with a huge bill, doesn't it? Last weekend, it was Halloween, so we had all these candies and there was a Kit Kat bar, so I thought, I'm going to have a break. I'm going to take a break. I'm tired. I'm going to take a break. I'm going to have a Kit Kat break. So I had a Kit Kat break. You know what? I was still tired. I was still hungry. Listen, I was still tired. I was still hungry. I was still unsatisfied. I still wanted more. Money doesn't do it. Relationships don't do it. Parties don't do it. Sports don't do it. Even if, you know, even the Oilers winning the Stanley Cup in 2018 will not do it. Right? And here's what else. Even shopping at Winners for shoes will not do it. That was a low blow, I know. Let me tell you, all the best that the world offers you has a time limit. And you will leave you wanting more. And that's why Jesus says to us, even today, even as believers, he says to us in verse 10, if you only knew who I am and the gift that God wants to give you, you'd ask me for a drink and I would give you living water. And she replied, let me drink that water so I'll never be thirsty again and won't have to come back here to draw water. You know what Psalm 34 verse 8 says? I believe it was written by David who loved God. David was a man with a heart after God, the Bible says. Here's what David said. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that Jesus is good. This woman had her first taste of fulfillment, first taste of living water. And I believe Jesus would say the same thing if you only knew. I would say this to you, if you only knew that he's here right now and he wants to give you living water and you will never thirst again. He has living water for you. He has Holy Spirit water that he'll put right inside of you. He is the Holy Spirit. Christianity is the only faith on earth where God actually indwells the believer by his Spirit. And he begins, when you receive mentor, he begins a revolution in your soul. He begins to churn you from the inside out. And you don't have to do it. But when you invite him into your heart, this thing called the power of the Holy Spirit begins to transform us. He metamorphosizes us into becoming what he called us and created to be. That means you don't have to do it yourself. He gives you the power to have a brand new life. Amen? He went to Samaria for her fulfillment. Number two, here's the second reason why Jesus had to go to Samaria. Number two, for her forgiveness. Verse 16, Jesus said to this woman, go get your husband, bring him back here. She replied, I'm not married. He said, that's true, for you've been married 5 times and now you're living with a man who is not even your husband. Jesus said, you've been married 5 times, you're on your 6th. That number 5 is known to be the number of grace. The number 6 is called the number of man. The number 7, Jesus was the 7th man in her life, the perfect man, and he gives her grace and truth. And he says to this woman, your thirst cannot be quenched by anything else. I have eternal water that 6 men cannot fill. I came to you, and you're expecting condemnation. He says, but I give you forgiveness. I give you forgiveness. For anything that you've ever done, I give you forgiveness. The Bible says in Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Our sins are totally forgiven and they're forgotten. this woman, she knew she was a sinner. I mean, she's had multiple relationships. She was on Mingle.com. She was on Christian Mingle. She was on eHarmony, right? She was connecting with all these guys, right? You know, maybe you're still struggling with the old habit patterns and the old cycles, right? But here Jesus comes. And here Jesus says to her, this is what Jesus says to me and to you today. Let me satisfy your thirst. Let me forgive you of all your past. Let me help you to put your past totally behind, right? And just come to me. Come to me and just worship me in spirit and in truth, and you will be full. Right? He gives her fulfillment, and he gives her forgiveness. When that woman met Jesus, man, she met love. She met acceptance, and she met forgiveness. And it totally undid her and changed her life. That's what God offers us to give us today. Total 100% love, acceptance, and forgiveness. Isn't that a beautiful gift? And he gives us eternal life if we receive him into our hearts. But there's one more thing that he gave us, and he gave her. He gave her fulfillment, he gave her forgiveness, and he gave her a future. A future. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a what? A future and a hope. And a hope." My next series is called Anchored by Hope. Come back and hear. This woman, you know, I want to admit to you, I've been pastor for 25 years now, plus. I've probably preached this text, this story, maybe a dozen times. But you know, I never knew her name. I never knew. But you know, with the advent of internet and media, you know, and technology, like all of a sudden there's this information that's available to us like never before. Just recently, we are now able to put a name and a face to this woman. This woman that Jesus met at the well, and you probably didn't know her name, and I didn't either. Her name is Fortini. 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 She was given the name Fortini. Here's a list of things on your PowerPoint. She was given a list of names. She was given the name Fortini at her baptism when she got water baptized. Fortini means enlightened one. She wins her five sisters and two sons to Christ. She was the first person to win a city for God. She was the last Gentile person, she was the first Gentile person to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to others before any other apostle even won a soul. Fortini gave her life as a martyr for Christ right after the apostle Peter and the apostle Paul were martyred in 66 AD. And she was a martyred with her five sisters and her two sons. She was considered an apostle of Jesus Christ by many and all her contemporaries. She was the very first New Testament evangelist. And if you read her history, it's amazing. She traveled into countries. She had the audacity to address kings and tell them about Christ. And they got so mad at her, some of them. And they tried to, you know, her story's incredible. I could go into it. But this is an incredible, this is an ordinary woman who had an incredible encounter with the incredible Christ. Amen? She's the one who said, "Come and meet a man at the well who told me everything I've ever done. He could be the anointed one." And everybody replied, "We no longer believe just because of what you told us. But now we've heard him ourselves and are convinced he really is the true Savior of the world." Jesus, Fortini came to Jesus. She had an encounter with Christ. And because it was real, it was a real experience, she went to the world to take Christ. She received three things. three things that God offers us today. What are those three things? He offers us fulfillment, he offers us forgiveness, and he offers us a future. Don't miss your opportunity to meet Jesus today. I'm going to ask you, how many of you are glad and thankful for Jesus today? How many? How many? Let's thank God for the greatest gift ever, the gift of his Son. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. John chapter 3:16, I'll finish with this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Amen? Let's bow our heads. I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And the Bible tells us that God has prepared an incredible life for those who would believe in him. And maybe you're here today and you never really connected to this God of the universe who sent his Son, Jesus. Or maybe you're here today, you're not sure you're ready to because you feel your life is so messed up. I want to tell you, God is in the business of healing messed up and wrecked lives. Or maybe you're someone here today, you're not really sure whether Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You're not assured that if you passed away, you'd be guaranteed of your destiny, that is, to go to heaven. Maybe you're not quite sure, but I want to tell you, today you can be sure. Today you can be sure that heaven is your guaranteed destiny. And so today, I want to lead everyone in a very powerful prayer. It's a simple prayer, it's a short prayer. But I believe every word that you say, God will hear. I want to pray for those who need assurance of their salvation, of their faith in Jesus Christ. I want to pray for those who never received Christ into your heart and you need a new start and a new life, and God says he's going to give you that. God will make you into a brand new person. You will never be the same. All right? So are you ready? I want everyone to say this prayer out loud. Can we all do this prayer out loud? Are you ready? Say this prayer out loud. And when you say it to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. Repeat after me. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in you. I believe that what you did on the cross was also for me. Thank you for shedding your blood to pay for all my sins. Today, Jesus, I receive you into my heart to be Savior, to be Lord of my life forever. In Jesus' name I ask, amen and amen. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And I'm going to ask, if you said that prayer for the very first time, or maybe you prayed it because you weren't quite sure, or you prayed that prayer for the very first time and you received Jesus into your heart, will you please lift your hand if you said that prayer? Lift it up and just raise it up high. I just want to see anybody. Just raise it up high. Anyone here? Thank you. Just be bold. All right? Receive Christ into your heart. Lift up your hand. I see the hand. Thank you. Any other hands over here? Any hands here? I receive Christ. Anyone over here? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand over there. Awesome. Awesome. What a great decision. Bible says that even one person received Christ literally stops heaven, and heaven rejoices. What a great decision. For those who lifted your hand, and if you didn't lift your hand, right after the service, you can go right back to that, it was called the Welcome Lounge, right there. It's right in that back wall there. There's a lamp over there, and Sandra, and there's a couple of girls that'll meet with you and talk with you about your next step. They have a special gift for you to help you in your next step in your walk with Jesus. Awesome to have you here. Thank you so much for joining us today.